how are you doing? And later on, switch on the TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Educate, they fabricate. I'm easy back to
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I am on right now as we speak. And tonight, what's tonight? Wednesday night already? My goodness, how fast time is going by. And almost the end of the year. Hard to believe, isn't it? Incredible. Well, tonight in the first hour, we have with us a very esteemed friend and a very scholarly individual who holds at least one or two, maybe three PhDs, I'm not sure, but his expertise is in Russia and Russian history. And he is Professor Matt Johnson, back by popular demand. He hasn't been here in a long time. And welcome back, Matt Johnson.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate it as always.
Now, how many degrees do you have in history? Two or three or what?
Well, you know, I just have your standard, BA, MA, PhD, that's all.
That's enough. And your specialty has been in particularly Russian history, is that right?
Well, when I was in grad school, I did mostly the history of political ideas and social ideas. And, mm-hmm. I guess when I graduated, I became a professional writer and mm-hmm. editor down in D.C. for
right.
6 years.
With the Barnes Review.
Yeah, and the American Free Press and,
yep.
and all those people. And mm-hmm. it was a good time. I resigned with good relationship with the management
right.
there. No problem. But, I guess the last 6, 7, 8 years, I began focusing more on Russia as the... Uh-huh. Bulwark against the New World Order. And if the New World Order is ever going to be challenged by anybody successfully, it's going to be by Vladimir Putin and whoever his successor is over there. And he's proving that day by day.
Mm. And you have a new website then to bring this viewpoint to the public, right?
Yeah, I'm teaching now to make my money, but my real creative outlet is this new site. It is the only one in English right now dealing with Russia, the end times, New World Order,
uh-huh.
Orthodoxy, etc. It's definitely no holds barred. And for at least some of the articles, I do have a peer review system of my own making. And I do have guest columnists, and I got writers from all over the place. And it's the American Journal of Russian and Slavic Studies. And
right.
I'm building my own market. It's moving along great. And, I think I'm one of the few who are actually saying the things that I'm saying. And,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much rejected by both the right and the left these days.
Yeah, I guess so.
And I'm very involved in ethnic nationalism and ethnic tradition
uh-huh.
and things like that. So this has been my focus the last decade or so.
Right, right. Now, what is the exact web address that you have for your site?
It's simply rusjournal.com, R-U-S journal.com. Very simple.
Mm-hmm. Very easy to remember. And I gather you have had a lot of hits on your site since you began it this past year.
People are really interested in the subject matter. People view Russia as a uh-huh. major player, as a major focus in world politics, and yet can't quite seem to get a handle on her past or her institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Russia, in my opinion, is the single most lied about country in the world.
Wow. That's interesting. All right. Hold that thought. We will be back and we'll take questions with Matt Johnson. And I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. We'll return to begin the program. Stay tuned. Hi, this is Rick Adams. Are you concerned about all of the media talk about the various new bird flu and other flu strains entering our country? Well, if you're hesitant about unknown ingredients in the popular flu vaccines, good for you. There is a natural, healthy alternative. Among them is this one, a successful, organic, natural, potent product from Uri International. It really works to prevent and rapidly eliminate the flu and cold symptoms. The 8 synergistic ingredients in immune enhancement works rapidly to raise your immune system without any side effects. Easy to swallow, no side effects, and safe for all ages. Call Barbara, 908-647-5093. Again, 908-647-5093, and mention Rick Adams when you call.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com, the store that invests its profits in your freedom.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
Yes, we are. Thank you. We are back to begin the program, and Matt Johnson is with me tonight, and we're going to have a good give and take. I guess you can only stay about an hour. Is that right, Matt?
Yes, unfortunately, this
All
time,
right.
Rick.
Okay, because last time we did have a lot more time, and we will do it more frequently because you are a wealth of information, and I know people will agree and some people will disagree with some of what you're saying, but that's what makes for an interesting program. And let's start off by, you know, just picking up on something you just said before the break intrigued me, and that was that you feel that probably Russia has been the most maligned or misunderstood country in history. And, you know, if you had said Germany, I'd probably agree with you on that. But how is Russia the most maligned or the one about most lies have been told about Russia in history?
Well, and at least in pre-revolutionary times, you know, I was brought up with the idea that not only czarism in particular, but monarchy in general was
yes.
a tyrannical, arbitrary thing.
Right.
And then, you know, from the same authors, the same historical authors who will make this claim,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll read in other sources how they had the lowest taxes, you know, in the 19th century in all of Europe, by far, that their economy was growing extraordinarily, that the peasants by the time of World War I owned 80% of the land. That, you know, you had this cultural flowering of literature and poetry in the middle of the 19th century under Nicholas I, who everyone says is the most tyrannical dictator of all time. You know, all of this, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I pretty much read, you know, all of the historical sources that I could get my hands on. And the fact is that it didn't add up. And so I wrote a book called The Third Rome, where I deal with these contradictions and try to get to the truth of the matter. And frankly, the traditional agrarian form of government and society, I think, is far superior than what we have today. And so, you know, of course, I appeal to a lot of patriotic and nationalist Russians, but also to Americans, too, who are looking for alternatives to this rotten postmodern empire.
Well, something, it seems, interrupted the Russia that was a monarchy for so many years, and that was the first the Menshevik Revolution and then the Bolshevik Revolution, and that changed the whole map, didn't it?
Yeah, we will never know what was lost. We'll never know how much was destroyed. You know, it took Russia a full generation to recover economically. And she then menaced the globe, created Maoist China, you know, created North Korea, installed their communist government, started the Korean War. You know, we're only just beginning to figure out, you know, the hundreds of millions who were killed, either directly or indirectly, as a result of that particular political movement.
Not just in one country, but across the globe, you mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, they started civil wars in nearly every country in the Third World. And you know, crossing, you know, there's probably no way we could ever calculate it completely. And the very fact that that ideology is taught in universities and is taken seriously by scholars really shows you how rotten the whole regime is.
How evil, yeah, exactly. They prefer darkness to light, you know, and it gets me thinking about how in this country, you know, in the 30s and 40s and, yes, in the 50s, you know, guys like Morrow, Edward R. Murrow, were looked upon as great luminaries of journalism, yet they were using their freedom that we have been afforded in America to basically negate the freedom that was destroyed behind the Iron Curtain. And that's what they did. They took advantage of it, full advantage of it. And while they were exercising their freedom here, they were actually assuaging and helping to pacify opposition to those brutal communist regimes that were destroying the very same artistic freedom, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that is a sickening, absolutely despicable thing to do as far as I'm concerned, Matt.
Well, the more I read about the Bolshevik Revolution, and it really is a major complex, it's a multifaceted affair, the more I see parallels with America in 2005. Bolshevik rhetoric, Bolshevik promises, in many ways, echo that of the modern regime. And the absurd part of it is that the Bolsheviks didn't believe a word of it. You know, they were campaigning after World War One to give the peasants more land, and of course their agenda was to completely nationalize the land. You know, they were talking about complete self-determination for non-Russians in the various ethnic groups within the empire. And of course, they believed that it should all be one centralized Soviet system. You know, I mean, what they were promising and what actually came out were completely different. They didn't believe a word of what they were promising.
Well, how could they, really, when you come right down to it?
They would say anything and do anything to get public support. And a lot of people fell for it. They ended up regretting it later on, but a lot of them fell for it. You know, I see more and more parallels. You know, the various accusations they made against the church as an excuse to take their land or property or whatever it was. It is one parallel after another. And it really, you think you're getting to the bottom of it, and you just realize you have to go a heck of a lot deeper to make any sense out of it. It really is that big and that complicated.
And it seems like it's the same players, too, today that were, well, their ancestral beings, so to speak, were active in Russia, doing the same thing. You know, you think of the neocons and the Pearls and the Wolfowitzes and, you know, people like Irving Kristol, those people that really owe no loyalty to anything but themselves and their ideology. And they build the imperial empire for their glorification, if you will, for their ideological purpose, you know. Seems to me it's the same key people who are involved throughout these ages in history, from Russia to modern-day America, as you're pointing out.
Well, when you read about Bolshevism, you have book after book after book, you start scratching your head. You say, how can this political movement, which started from nothing, suddenly have the money and the resources to build a humongous army, able to take on, you know, three or four simultaneous fronts at the same time during the Civil War, had this tightly centralized structure with substantial money to spend. You know, where did this all come from? The German government at the end of World War I wanted to knock Russia out of the war, and they financed the Bolsheviks. Bankers in the West, such as the Schiff family and Kuhn Loeb and these others, angry at the Tsar because he refused to set up a central bank and turn over their currency to the international bankers, as had was done in America, and to financialize the Russian system.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian Tsar was a bulwark of sovereignty in the sense that he was a protector of the currency.
Right.
And he was the sole a minter, so to speak, of the currency. And Russia, all throughout the 18th and 19th century, suffered very little inflation as a result.
He didn't want the money changers in, huh?
it's something that he took from the Byzantine system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no accident that in the East Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, near the end, the last generation, the end of the sovereignty really came when the emperors were forced to sign over their currency to the Venetians. Once they did that, the empire, in my opinion, was officially over, and the entire thing fell a few years later. And I think the Tsar, they all were aware of the power of the currency, as well as the power of those who wanted to get their hands on it. Whoever controls currency controls the economy.
Of course, and controls the lawmaking bodies as well.
And so
whether it's democracy or monarchy or what have you, they control the system.
Well, and then when Lenin took over, the local banks that had sprung up in Russia were nationalized, with one exception. And that one exception was the Federal Reserve Bank of New York in St. Petersburg, which was mysteriously allowed to operate.
How convenient, huh?
So, you know, I mean, it's just this labyrinth of power and conspiracy. And, you know, I get called names every day for even bringing up the questions, never mind answering them. It just shows the sheer rot of how people think. And the amazing capacity for American intellectuals, as well as the American population as a whole, to believe whatever they're told.
Right. There is an intellectual bigotry, definitely, that I think precludes them from doing an honest inquiry into history itself. I mean, I remember in school, in college, attempting to use these charts from, this was Gary Allen's book at the time, but, you know, men like from the Hoover Institution, I just had his name, and I lost it for a minute. Anthony Sutton, a friend of yours, you know, he did a lot of original research showing the, you know, Lenin regime leading up to eventually to Stalin and the new economic policy. You know, the things like, why was the new economic policy, the NEP, instituted in Russia? What was it? What did they do? Well, of course, the communists bankrupted the whole country, as you know, and communism does not work. That was proven in Russia. So they changed course and then eventually didn't do them any good because by the 1930 era, they were virtually, I guess, on the verge of collapse. And then good old FDR, that great hero of American freedom, you know, officially extended American recognition to Stalin, to Russia, something that even Wilson could not do and could not get away with, you know?
Well, it's really bizarre thinking about U.S. foreign policy, not merely the state apparatus in D.C., but also powerful economic actors.
Mm.
Henry Ford built a major truck plant in Odessa in Ukraine in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
Archer Daniels Midland from, you know, throughout the 20th century was either supplying the Soviets with grain when their own system failed to produce enough, and was continuously fighting any anti-communist initiatives to cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
American capitalism was very interested in feeding Russia and in selling goods to the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
In my book, I end Russian history with the murder of Nicholas II, because what came afterwards was not at all Russian. Certainly the people who ran revolution were certainly not Russian ethnically. And
that's interesting, yeah. All right, stay where you are. Matt Johnson, our guest, and we're talking about Russia. Join us right now, 800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams. We'll be back. Over 100 million Americans have dangerously high cholesterol. Are you one of them? North American Urban Spice has developed Cholestamine, an all-natural food-based supplement proven to give your body the nutritional support it needs to lower cholesterol and improve circulation naturally without the side effects of harmful prescription drugs. Call today, 800-243-5242, 800-243-5242 for Cholestamine.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, we are. Thank you. And we do have a number of callers already lined up to speak with our guest, Matt Johnson, who holds several degrees in history. Particularly, he deals with Russian history and the present situation. His website, Russ Journal, RUSJournal.com. And I'm Rick Adams, your radio avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, sounding the alarm. Matt, did you want to continue with your thesis, or shall we just go and take some calls?
Let's go take some calls.
Yeah, because we don't have too much time tonight, so we'll start with John in New York. Hello, John.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Just as you're talking about the history of Russia and how people didn't really want things to happen, just this weekend alone, there was a car accident. It turned out to be a New York City police officer. And, you know, I was commenting to him about 9/11 and, you know, what's going on and what does he feel about it. He says, well, you know, the plane that was shot down off Long Island?
Mm-hmm.
And he said that wasn't a blast from a terrorist. He said that was a missile from this ship. And he said the whole New York City police force knows it. But it's like we can live these lies. And do you have a suggestion of how, as the past, they were manipulated into, you know, communism, and we're actually having the same thing happen to us now? Is there a solution?
Mm.
Like I say, the parallels are very obvious, and the caller's right to bring it up. My stock answer to these kind of questions is to begin building our own institutions on a local level. The homeschooling movement is doing extremely well in America. In my home state of Pennsylvania, the government in Harrisburg has been forced to admit that and is trying to set up institutions to support homeschoolers. Any sort of local bookstore, even things like theater companies, things to bring classical and traditional culture to Americans who are only used to Walmart. And these can be done. They can easily be done at the local level with not a whole lot of money. But unfortunately, those kind of institutions don't get your face in the paper very often. So a lot of the big right-wing money isn't going to go there. They love their big think tanks in D.C. and all this other, you know, their connections with the elite and in the Beltway. And, you know, reaching people who may be starving for culture and really not know how to get it or to interpret it or to really enjoy it. You know, and I've seen it work. I've seen it work in Nebraska. I've seen it work in Missouri, places where I've been to school. At the local level, motivated people can get it done. The Right to Life movement is a perfect example. You know, there isn't an abortion clinic in America that doesn't have a local group of people fighting it almost every Saturday morning. You know, these are strictly local initiatives of people who have just had enough. And I, you know, there's some around where I live, and I'm involved with them. And don't send your money into these Beltway institutions. They're just going to continue to disappoint you.
Well, thank you very much.
John, thank you for the call. All right, let's take another call. Paul in Colorado, you're on the program.
Yes, thank you, Rick and Matt. I am in agreement with Matt on Russia. It will be the dominant player in the East and in Europe. And I have a question for you, if you can come up with an answer. I'm sure you can, but who is the major benefactors of inflation, deflation, and during any time? And while I'm lighting my lamp and finding my tricorn and saddling the horse, I'll listen to your answer. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Paul, for calling. I'll tackle that one.
Well, go right ahead. It's definitely not an easy question. There are those who will say that in many ways inflation is a certain sort of profit. You know, as the wealthy get richer, the poor continuously get poorer. You know, the fluctuations in currency don't affect those who in fact control the currency. It you know, it simply doesn't affect them either way. It will affect, however, Social Security, and it will affect the savings accounts, et cetera. But ultimately, what happens in an inflationary situation is that the interest rate will rise in order to compensate for it. The interest rate, of course, is really the degree of profit, the prime rate anyway, that bankers will get, who control the currency, who control the Federal Reserve, will get on the currency that they mint. So as inflation goes up, the Federal Reserve will be forced to raise interest rates and as a result, which is another way of saying that the profit margin has just gone up X percentage point. So it does benefit the people who control the currency, at least in the sense that it gives them a good excuse to raise the prime rate.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. But inevitably, isn't it true that the system they've created rages out of control and the inevitable thing is that it destroys itself, and it can destroy much of what they have managed to accumulate through plunder.
Well, I continue to be amazed the extent to which the regime and the people who control it can be so far-seeing in politics. You know, this agenda has been around for 100 years, 200 years, and they've been amazingly coherent and far-seeing in that regard. Often in economics, though, these people can be so short-sighted.
Right.
And it's often the case, the way corporate America is structured, that stockholders have to be paid off.
All right, stay where you are. We got to take a break. And our guest, Matt Johnson, we shall return with other calls. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Adams.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over a million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Okay, hey, we're back again with Matt Johnson, and if you wish to avail yourself to his website, it's RUS Journal, that's rusjournal.com. And we're back with Matt. And Matt, you get some interesting calls, interesting questions, and you know it can get hot and heavy. Obviously, when we talk about Russia and its history, and the we get into other personalities and the Khazars and so forth, and the Ashkenazi, and that'll come up a little bit later in the program, I'm sure. But the history of Russia is a fascinating one because of the relationship the Tsars had to so many different people. I guess it was the Russo-Japanese relationship that they enjoyed for how many years was it?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. Are you talking about the war?
Yeah. Well, they going back to the 1800s. Was it 1880s, 1890s? Russia and Japan did have a relationship, right?
Well, yeah, but it was pretty much a hostile one.
Right. I'm aware of the wars that took place, but between
there
the
was competition for the land, but both in northern China and extreme eastern Russia.
Yes,
the British picked up on this,
uh-huh.
and particularly the Rothschilds figured that supplying and financing the Japanese government was a nice way to control the Russians in the Far East, because they, of course, as well had interest in that area.
Oh yes,
there was always rumors about oil and gold and platinum, etc. And the Japanese military buildup leading up to the Russo-Japanese War 1905 was financed entirely by Britain, and the Japanese Navy was built in Britain, and sold at a very reasonable price to the Japanese. So a lot of that modernization, the beginning of the 20th century, was actually designed to keep Russia from spreading too far into Asia.
And then that year, 1905, wasn't that the year of the Mensheviks?
Well, it was an abortive revolution, and it didn't succeed, except that it forced the Tsar to grant somewhat of a representative assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, that's also an extremely complicated set of issues. It was a complete failure in terms of its day-to-day financing and funding, as well as being an extremely violent place to be.
Yes.
Like so many of these experiments with Western systems, it just, you know, the Russians weren't really interested in it. A new poll just came out yesterday, in fact, saying that a slight majority of Russians want to return to a one-party system. Only it's about 51 or 52%. Only 4% in a nationwide poll said that they think that multiple parties are important and should be encouraged. Russians view political parties as the creations and the playthings of the elite, whether it be capitalist parties, Marxist parties, nationalist parties. They view them all pretty much one and the same. And this is one of the reasons that Putin is so popular. He's one of the most popular leaders in the world. And George Bush would love to have his popularity raised. and he does, you know, he has him partially because he's able to present himself as sort of an individual, very strong individual, a nationalist, someone outside of your normal day-to-day party conflict. And that's to a great extent true. And Russians are far more interested in that than they are in what we know party government to be in America, essentially, you know, interest groups completely divorced from the American population, clashing and arguing and spending money on Capitol Hill. It's really all it comes down to. Russians have known that for a very long time.
Very interesting, very true, too. Let's take another call. 800-313-9443 is the number. That's 800-313-9443. And let's go to Rita in Texas. Hello, Rita.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right, now. Rita, are you going to be a real hot storm tonight? You going to shake things up? Is that what you're going to do? We know Rita. She doesn't hold back anything, right, Rita?
Well, I figure, you know, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and the truth will set you free.
All right. Go ahead, Rita.
Mr. Matthews, I'd recommend a book for you to read that it might be able to enhance you to write another book to clarify apparently the book you've already written. There was a book that is called, and it's very, very good, and I've been really passing this book name around, and people are reading it, and it's like the scales falling right down from your eyeballs. It's called Plot Against the Church, written by Maurice Panay.
Oh, sure, yes, I read that, yeah.
Well, and I'm thoroughly convinced, first of all, being a student of history, I'm very convinced that as far as the facts are concerned, that they're accurate. And I'm of the belief, and what I find very enlightening about that particular book is it reveals the Russian, the Jewish names of Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin. And it also gives the numerous names of all of the so-called leaders, which used to be Catholic countries, like Romania, Estonia, and Latvia. It also exposes about, I mean, there were 80 million mainly Russian Orthodox or Christian people that were slaughtered by that system. And looking at what is happening in China, I'm seeing also the same thing. The other thing, too, that the communists did is that every one of your clergy are basically KGB or communist affiliated with the state. So with the martyrdom of so many millions, I don't really see what one would deem an authentic Christian or Russian Orthodox congregation that would exist in Russia. And furthermore, in reading Plot Against the Church, I already see in the United States the beginnings of, and I like the term that they use in that book, Jewish imperialism, that the Jews' ultimate goal is to have a Jewish worldwide kingdom throughout the world. And what I perceive, because the book also, I can't remember the emperor's name. I think it was out of Spain in the 13th century. The Jews, what they do is they, it's kind of like a pincer movement. On one country, they'll talk about, you know, peace. And yet they'll create, but in infiltrating the other countries, then they'll talk about war. And basically what they're doing is you'll have two Christian nations fighting each other, you know, so that eliminates quite a bit of your Christians. And the Jews basically, I think what's happening is there's going to be a revolution. I think that the more the book, that book and information, you know, that comes out, I think that there is really a battle between Judaism and Christianity.
Well, what do you think of this now? Let's let him respond. Matt, how do you respond? What do you think about it?
Well, I thought Judy was going to shake things up, and she just kind of, you know, brought a whole bunch of truisms that we all know to be true and strung them all together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is kind of all had for us, Judy. Do you have anything new?
Who, me?
Yes,
yeah.
Rita, you.
Oh, sir, let me let you know something. As far as I'm concerned, I'm one of those that I believe that the Ten Commandments, you know, are not old-fashioned. You know, and I firmly believe that once people recognize how devious and cruel the Jews are, that ultimately they will revolt. It's coming.
Well,
when it's coming, sir, I really don't. But
yeah,
I do appreciate your
efforts. I appreciate
efforts
your calling too, Rita.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Care.
I think the word Ashkenazi, really, the Ashkenazi, if you will, Jewish movement, Eastern European, if you will, Asiatic, comes to mind here, does it not, Matt?
Well,
we speak about a specific kind of person and a specific kind of Jew. Not, for instance, you know, some of the Sephardic Jews, for instance, but Ashkenazi, the Sharons and the Shamirs and many of the people who have led in Israel there. That particular brand, they're not religious people. They use religion as a means of accomplishing their goals. They put on the facade of the Old Testament, but in fact they hate the Old Testament. They hate the commandments of God. They hate the Ten Commandments. Many of these people, they're atheists. Let's face it, they're atheists by religion, but racially they may be Ashkenazi Jews, and that's the whole point.
The plot against the church is a very useful one. It's been around a long time.
Yes, it has been. Yeah.
And there are many other books that say very similar things. So it's very easy to cross reference.
Right.
Listen, you know, Father Fahey and these people, you know, they've listed the entire Presidium in 1925 and 1930, you know, and their ethnic backgrounds and everything else.
Uh-huh.
But Judy brought up something. I mean, 99% of what she said was true.
Rita, yeah.
We all know it to be true. These are kind of truisms for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But she spoke about the church, and let me explain. It's, again, another complex, typical Russian. You know, it's very complicated, and it takes a little while to explain.
Uh-huh.
When it became clear that the Bolsheviks were going to win the military confrontation against the whites, the bulk of the church formed its own synod. We call it today the Synod Abroad or the Synod in Exile. And they formed originally in Constantinople, and then they moved to Serbia into Kirilovsky and created the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia. It eventually ended up in Manhattan, in 93rd Street, on the east side of Manhattan, and they're there today. And after, you know, a huge number of clergy and monastics were slaughtered by the Bolsheviks, the remainder of the church fled the country.
Mm-hmm.
A major see was in Shanghai, nationalist China, prior to the communist takeover. Harbin had its own bishop. Australia, of course, the bulk had come to Serbia and eventually went to America. So that became the free voice of Russian Orthodoxy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what was left in Russia was brought under the control of the communist government and used to propagandize for the communist government. There were some good clergymen. There were some good people who very quietly went about their business, hopefully under the radar as much as possible. But the free voice of the Russian church eventually came to New York and has about a million people around the world who adhere to it. It's been very influential in Orthodox circles, you know, globally. And thank God that that's no longer the case. The KGB was purged twice, actually. First, the first coup when Gorbachev was retired, and the second coup in 1992. Afterwards, in both cases, the KGB was purged because it was the officer corps that led these coups against the post-communist government. So that institution, now the FSB, really is a radically different institution than the KGB of 15, 20 years ago. Most of those old men have been retired, and a lot of those old bishops, too, who were a part of the regime, are also being retired. And a new generation is being brought up in, increasingly Orthodox Russia. So that's kind of the outline of the story. It's very difficult.
You mentioned originally the Romanovs and the murder that took place of the Russian families. There was someone who said he was supposedly an agent or one that had survived the purges and the murder of the family. I think it was Michael Golianowski. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, there's a lot of these people, yeah.
What do you make of them and their claims that that some of the family actually survived?
Well, let's see. I've read the work of someone claiming to be Anastasia. I've read the work of someone claiming to be Alexei.
Uh-huh.
And then this other guy has been around. Most of these people are long gone.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote some interesting stories, but you know there were. Here's the issue. The bottom line is that the Russians in exile created institutions in order to authenticate these claims. A lot of these people knew, and obviously the Russian language and history intimately. You know, as second nature.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these people ultimately were rejected as frauds. You know, and the significance of that is that if someone had survived, the Russians in exile would have grabbed onto this person and used them as a, you know, battering ram against the Soviet regime and would have absolutely electrified the anti-communist resistance, not just among Russians, but the anti-communist worldwide. The fact that they let those chances slip from their hands really proves to me that these were frauds. And the guy claiming to be Alexei actually wrote a gripping novel about his trip to America and getting his first job and learning English and everything else. Some of the jobs that he claimed to have gotten in America were unsuited for somebody with hemophilia. But the point is, these were very good writers, and they were very creative in their imagination.
So you're saying that all of those claims were proven ultimately to be totally false?
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind.
Mm.
And it's not even my personal opinion, but rather the opinion of those experts that were explicitly appointed for the purpose of finding somebody, a member of the royal family, somebody like that to rally around, and they failed to do so.
Right. That's very interesting because certainly I have read many of those, you know, accounts, and they go way back, as you point out, for at least 25 years, and I wondered whether there was any authenticity to that or not. Now, you know, we'll have time after the break, but I want you to think about this, what you had mentioned just a moment or so ago about these figures that have been put around, these figures about how many people actually were murdered under communism, Bolshevikism, if you will, over that span of time. And I heard the figure 80 million. Is that possible? How can you substantiate that number? Or is it substantiable?
Do you want me to answer now or should I wait for the break?
All right, wait for the break if you want, but that's something to ponder because, you know, we've all heard the figures, and I just couldn't believe. I could understand, you know, documenting 12 or 15 million just under Stalin and his purges and the kulaks and so forth,
right.
The farmers that were starved to death in the Ukraine, that was just one area. But to think that the population had been that great to begin with was something that I just was aghast at. So when we come back, we will do that to round out the hour. We'll talk about that. Anything else quickly, if you have a quick call, quick comment or question, our guest Matt Johnson will definitely be giving you a straight answer, as you can see. So you can call us toll-free, ladies and gentlemen, and it's 800-313-9443, because he'll only be here a few more minutes till the top of the hour. 800 800- 313-943-9443 if you have a quick question, a very quick one, and we will try to handle that as well. So the program Uncensored, Radio Free America, and it's heard weeknights, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. And I'm the host, your producer and host, Rick Adams, and, of course, as I say, we don't have too much more time left in this hour. So get aboard if you have a quick question. And Matt Johnson, I'm sure, will be back with us again on a regular basis because he's very, as you see, very knowledgeable. All right, Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. We'll be right back. Stay tuned for more. Uri International, that's the name. Put the good health and nutrition back in your food with 30 years of research in organic farming and importing powerful organic berries from South America and the Orient. This is an exciting nutrition buying club with a 50% fast cash bonus paid weekly for sharing these exceptional organic products with friends and family. No additives, no preservatives, no pasteurization, coming right from the farm to you. Take it from me, Rick Adams. These products will change the health of your body and your life with the highest quality, tremendous value, low prices, and a great opportunity for you to make that extra money you need. Over 35 live products, free website, training, and leads. This is the company you've been waiting for. Let food be your medicine and medicine your food. Call Barbara right now, 1-800-543-6606. That's 1-800-543-6606, Uri International.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The first step in winning the war? Spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
All righty, we are back and not too much time, so did you want to answer that question that I just brought up, Matt? Go ahead.
Now, you're talking just within the borders of the Soviet Union, right?
Just within those borders alone.
No, I have no difficulty with that, because you're talking, 10 million people just in the early 30s in Ukraine.
Right.
You know, and that's given the size of the Soviet Union. But, you know, the 80 million figure, that's nothing. You think of China. You think of China's creation,
right.
Cambodia. You think
right.
all the civil wars mm-hmm. that the Marxists started for supremacy down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Africa, in Central Asia, in Eastern
Asia. Oh, absolutely. If you include them all worldwide, it's in the probably the hundreds of millions. There's no question about that.
as a direct result of the very existence of Marxist ideology.
Right. Okay, let's take some more calls, if you wish. And if we have to, maybe we can steal a 5 minutes at the top of the hour from you and then let you go, okay?
That's fine.
All right, let's take Jeff. Jeff in Texas, you're next on the program.
Yeah, hey, great guest. Question for you, Matt.
Sure.
In my study of the neocons, I've traced everything back to a few key people, Leo Strauss, and going back further to people like Hegel and Nietzsche and other people in the Frankfurt Circle in Germany, this elite circle of philosophers, shall we say, or supermen. And we also find back in Frankfurt, we find the Shabbatians, the Frankists, having some of their origins, as well as, of course, the Rothschilds in originally in the Frankfurt ghetto. I don't have my Marx and Lenin history down pat. Do you find any correlation with Marx and this elite circle, or does he come from some other branch?
Oh, God. You know, it would take me 3 hours to answer that. you know, the people who you mentioned.
You need the cliff notes.
Yeah, well, let me put it to you this way. When the Frankfurt School came to America, Herbert Marcuse immediately was given a job at the New School for Social Research in Manhattan and was given a huge amount of money by the Rockefeller Foundation. Every book that Herbert Marcuse ever published in the acknowledgments says, and thank you very much to the Rockefeller Foundation for funding this project.
Right.
Nietzsche, I'm not sure about, because Nietzsche, at least in Thus Spake Zarathustra, was rather anti-communist. And he made a couple of anti-socialist statements there. I did my master's thesis on both Hegel and Nietzsche, in fact, at Missouri. Hegel's philosophy is right. His last book on political theory is actually, I kind of like it.
So where's Marx get his roots?
Marx was a direct student of Moses Hess. Moses Hess was both a socialist of one kind or another and a Zionist. Marx was funded, as I think most of our callers know, by a Masonic organization called the League of Just Men. He was paid money in 1848 to do the Communist Manifesto. Every single one of these figures, see, Nietzsche at least and Hegel both had regular academic jobs for a while.
Oh, wait a second. Does Marx have a lot of origins with French circles?
I think he was opposed to a lot of French socialism because he viewed it as too utopian.
Right.
He wanted something that in his mind was based on what he considered dialectical scientific principles.
Right. I see a lot of correlation in modern events between those countries that roll up into the Royal House, the British House of Freemasonry, and those that roll up to the Grand Orient House of Freemasonry, witness the countries that lined up against each other prior to this past Iraq war.
Well, that is interesting. Let me tell you, I'm not so sure that the Yorkies and the Scottish Rite really are that radically different from the Grand Orient. I think simply because I have Scottish in their name doesn't mean their origin is at all.
Well, maybe they play different parts of a play, if you will.
I have a lot of sympathy for that view, and I think it's pretty common within our circle. And I think you're absolutely right on that.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, for your call. Can you stay just 5 more minutes?
Yes.
All right. Very good. Matt Johnson with us. His website, we'll mention it in just a moment because we're out of time this hour. Stay tuned.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
RBN Live.